From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea, in for Ed Gordon. Last night, President Bush, in a national address from the Oval Office, took responsibility for his decision to invade Iraq.
I know this war is controversial, yet being your president requires doing what I believe is right and accepting the consequences. And I have never been more certain that America's actions in Iraq are essential to the security of our citizens and will lay the foundation of peace for our children and grandchildren.
The president insisted that his decision would ultimately lead to success. It was his sixth speech on Iraq in 18 days and followed on the heels of that nation's historic elections. But some Democrats already described this latest speech as simply an attempt by the president to try to change the subject. They're referring to published reports, plus the president's later admission that he authorized the National Security Agency to spy on American citizens without court-approved warrants. Did the NSA's actions cause the Senate to reject extending major portions of the Patriot Act on Friday? With us now is Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California. As a member of the House Judiciary Committee, she's been particularly outspoken against the Patriot Act. Congresswoman Waters, good to have you on.
Delighted to be on with you.
Excellent. So before we get into the Patriot Act, let's talk a little bit about President Bush's address to the nation on Iraq Sunday evening. It was his first speech from the Oval Office since the beginning of the invasion in March 2003. What kind of a grade would you give it?
Well, I think it's old soup warmed over. There was nothing particularly new. This was the second time that he had attempted to take some responsibility. He had, just a few days ago, indicated that there were no weapons of mass destruction, and he took responsibility. However, he said, even though the intelligence information was wrong, that he would do it anyway. And he reiterated that he tried to indicate that the elections had been so successful that now we had made such progress that he believes even stronger that he's doing the right thing. And basically he said that there were bigger sacrifices to be made. There would be more, I guess, deaths. I mean, I'm always just absolutely torn up when I hear him say that. These are other people's children he's talking about making these sacrifices. But, you know, it was nothing new to me. It was basically what he's been saying over and over again and adding a little bit each time.
Let's talk about the Patriot Act. Senate action leaves the bill up in the air. It's due to expire at the end of the year. President Bush and House Republican leaders had pushed hard for the bill. Is this really a turning point, the NSA admission, a turning point in getting Republicans to question the Patriot Act?
I think it may be. As a matter of fact, many people are saying it was the timing of that information, the story from the New York Times, that helped to stop the Patriot Act, too. You know, we have all, Democrats and Republicans, but mostly Democrats, have been uncomfortable with Patriot Act 1. We fought very hard to take out a lot of the bad provisions of Patriot Act 1, and then to have it renewed with new provisions in it that would create more death penalty, more surveillance, that wasn't going to be easy to begin with because people now had some information about what was happening at Abu Ghraib, what was happening at Guantanamo, and then on top of that, the National Security Agency revelations. And so people, you know, have been suspicious and uncomfortable all along. But I think this president has piled up a record of invasion of privacy and disrespect for civil liberties. And so I think this may be a turning point.
Let me ask you a question about something that comes from the past, COINTELPRO. A lot of African-Americans, a lot of Americans are afraid of the government spying on them. How do you think that this resonates in the black community, given the history of surveillance?
Well, first of all, someone asked me, was I shocked? And I told him, no, I wasn't shocked. I wasn't shocked because we talk about this all the time. We make jokes about our telephone calls being listened to. We know about COINTELPRO, and we believe that the government does spy on civil rights groups and groups who don't agree with the government. And it's been borne out one more time, two more times. As a matter of fact, as we're talking about the surveillance by the National Security Agency and the president, You also know that there are revelations about peaceful protests against the war being under surveillance. As a matter of fact, one that I was at in Hollywood, I've just been made aware of that the undercover agents were there. But we always suspected that anyway.
You had a chance to really question the Justice Department a couple years ago about its approach to the war on terror. What questions did you ask then, and what questions, very briefly, do we need to be asking now?
Well, as you know, many of us were really concerned about the fact that your privacy was invaded when you go to the library, and you could check out a book, and the librarian would have to tell the FBI what you had checked out, and you would not even be told that that information had been given to the FBI. We asked them questions about that. I've asked them questions about roving wiretaps, and I've asked questions about association. Now, with this administration, if you are out in a food court and you sit at the table with someone who is suspected to be involved in terrorist activities, and you know when you go to food court, you could sit at any table with anybody, then automatically you're under suspicion. You could be put under surveillance. Your emails could be interfered with. Your phone could be wiretapped. You could be placed under surveillance. So I ask questions about all of that.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.